The second scripture reading today is from Acts 20, 25 through 38. Now, just a minute here, covered up. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Excuse me. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will rise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I have never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit to you God and the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied by my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that my kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had said this, he knelt down with all the men, all of them, and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them the most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Jen. You must have both had the same frog up here. You know, what's interesting as we continue in the book of Acts, this is the last statement, I guess, that Paul makes before he ends up heading to prison. The last recorded message before Paul ends up becoming a prisoner. And it's interesting, the story that we read here, it seems like Paul had some indication from God through the Holy Spirit that this was going to happen, that tough times were coming. Now, you and I, it would be nice if our lives were kind of like a GPS where you plug it in and you know exactly where you're going. You know, I get lazy with maps now because I just plug in the GPS and I don't even really have to look because you just listen and it says, okay, turn here, turn there, whatever. And if you missed it, recalculate and all that sort of stuff. But with a GPS, you kind of have an idea how to get to where you need to go. And in fact, it'll even tell you the fastest way to get there, or perhaps some of your GPSs might tell you the most scenic way to get there, or a way to go without tolls, or whatever the case might be, it'll tell you how to get there. But our lives don't really go like a GPS route, do they? Part of it's because you and I get off the beaten path that God has laid out for us, and we're heading in different directions we probably should not go, and God is constantly calling us back to where we need to go in our lives. But it would be nice, wouldn't it, if he just lay out a nice path for us and we could just go on that path and not worry about anything. Here in the story today about Paul, we hear a little bit about stopping and going, in a sense. Almost like you're at a stoplight. When it turns green, you go. When it turns red, you stop. If it's yellow, you know you're supposed to stop, or you might get in trouble if you don't. And sometimes God leads in that way. And so I ask you and I this morning to ask ourselves at our point in life that we are right now, Are we at a stoplight? Are we going? Are we stopping? Is there a rush to get to something? Do I need to stop and get clarity about something? Do I need to move ahead kind of cautiously with my life where I am right now? Where am I getting my instructions? Because sometimes the stoplight doesn't work. You ever been on Central and the stoplight doesn't work? Or someplace else and you wonder, am I supposed to go or am I not supposed to go? Or you kind of wait until the guy comes to the other corner first and then you're kind of trying to figure out. You know, the stop sign's over at Sheboygan by the school where you all come at the same time. It's like, who got there first? And if you don't know, everybody kind of, you know, jumps ahead to see if the other one goes. And if they don't, then you keep going. How do I know I'm doing the right thing in the direction that I'm going? These are all questions that I ask me and you when it comes to this whole idea of, am I stopping or am I going? And what is God calling me to do? We see Paul sees a go light here. Earlier, he saw a stoplight. If you remember a few months ago, because it's been a few months since we were in Acts 16, in Acts 16, and a few verses in Acts there, Paul wants to go to Asia, and he is being prevented from going there. It says right there in the verses, he was prevented from preaching in Asia. Boom. Stoplight. God says, no, you're not going there. He wanted to go there. Now, he's being directed to go to Jerusalem, avoiding Asia, avoiding Ephesus. He wants to, in a way, to be with the Ephesians. He doesn't have an opportunity to meet with some of the Ephesian elders in the text today and talk to them about what God's calling him to do, calling him to go. He wants to be in Jerusalem by Pentecost. And while he's traveling, he wants to explain to the Ephesian elders what's up. So he tells them, you know how I've always loved you. You know how I've always been honest with you. You know that I've served you with humility. I've served you with tears. I've preached what was helpful. And there were Jews constantly plotting against me. But I did what God was calling me to do. You know that, don't you, folks? You know, I sense a bit of emotion in what's going on here. You know, when you read, you can't always get the emotion, but I get Paul is trying to say, you know, I really want to be with you, but God's calling me to something else right now, and I just want you to hang in there and keep on doing what God calls you to do, and stop when God says stop, and go when God says go. Listen to his voice, but I have to go to Jerusalem. I have to go to Jerusalem, verses 22 and 23. I don't know what's up, except that I know hardships in prison are coming. Now think about that. If you know hardships in prison were coming, if you were like I am thinking right now, well, you know what? Maybe I'm not supposed to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to head to Disney World instead. Now think about it. If you knew God was calling you to difficulty, would it be hard to respond? I'm trying to put you in Paul's shoes right now because, you know, sometimes we as Christians need to be put in someone else's shoes to understand that sometimes where God leads us is not always going to be easy. This isn't an easy sermon to preach either because, you know, you don't leave sometimes with warm fuzzies. Sometimes you got to leave with this little sense of, am I really listening? Am I really listening to what God wants for me? Do I have to walk maybe for a period of time a hard path? Maybe you don't. Praise God. Life is not completely full of all a bunch of hard paths. Sometimes God gives us a real respite from that sort of thing too. You know? Because he says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he came to give us an abundant life. What's that mean? Sometimes abundance comes also in difficulty as well. But while he's traveling, he wants to talk to the Ephesian elders and make sure everything is going to be okay with them. You need to understand, I really do want to be here with you, but I have to go because God is calling me to something else. Reminds me of a couple verses that Paul was sharing in Philippians chapter 4. At that point, he's been a prisoner. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, he says he's learned to be content in all circumstances. In essence, what he's saying is my satisfaction and joy are not dependent on outward circumstances. I hope we get that this morning, because sometimes when we have to face hard stuff, whether it's personal hard stuff, or whether it's someone else's hard stuff, or we have to walk into something that is kind of hard stuff, that God is with us, and if God has called us to the task, then God will lead us through it. You need to know that. You need to know that. As a country, we need to know that. As individuals, we need to know that. As a church, we need to know that. God leads and God directs us. And sometimes the path can get a little hard. Paul knows his path is going to get hard. So why go? Why go? Why go if the path is going to be hard? Don't you want the point of least resistance? Don't you want to have an easier path of it? Why go if I know if I go, it's going to be hard? He says in verse 24, listen again. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. So why go? The answer to that is to finish the race, to complete the task. That's what God has called all of us to do. Now, there are many, perhaps even most, that God is not calling you to a path that's nearly as difficult as Paul's was. He had a tough time of it. On that road, I think about his life previous to becoming a Christian, and he made Christians' lives miserable, didn't he? And God was saying, Paul, I've chosen you for a special task. When he had that Damascus road experience, little did he really know that the task was going to be, you know, there are going to be portions of your life in Christ that are going to be difficult. But I'll be there with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be there with you through that tough task. You can know that beyond any doubt whatsoever. I just want you to finish the race and complete the task that I have called you to. And Paul really is saying here that his life means nothing outside of following Christ. I hope for you and for me that we get to that point at some point in our life. We get to that point where my life means nothing outside of following Christ. And when I'm following Christ, my life means everything. And the people I love mean everything. And the church means everything. And my community means everything. And all that I come in contact means everything. Because, why? I am desiring to follow Christ. But outside of Christ, it doesn't have meaning. You understand what he's saying here? What I'm trying to communicate with you this morning? So he tells the Ephesian leaders in those verses, keep going. Sometimes it's not going to be easy, but keep going. Sometimes you're not going to understand what in the heck is going on, but keep going. And sometimes God may call you to stop. Maybe it's to get more directions. Maybe it's just for a bit of respite. I don't know what it might be, but sometimes we're called just to stop and not go where we think we should go, because God has another plan in our lives. Sometimes I know in my own life I've thought this is where God wants me to go. It seems good and righteous and holy, and God says, nah, I don't want you to go that direction. I want you to go another direction. That really was my call to ministry. I was called to be a farmer my whole life. I knew that when I was a kid. That's what I thought, okay? That's what I thought. ought to be a farmer. I knew so much so that I'm going to go to Michigan State University and I'm going to get in the ag tech program and I'm going to be a knowledgeable farmer, not just a dumb one. So I went 2 years to Michigan State University and learned all the stuff I could do, and I went back to the family farm and I managed the family farm for a few years. During that whole time, my brother is sensing a call to be on the farm, and he hated the farm when he was a kid. I was the only one of the kids that loved farming, and he hated it. Isn't it weird how God works? God was calling him to the farm, and God was calling me away from the farm. Now, I'm stubborn, and it took a couple years to get there. I had to stop first. And then God says, "No, I want you to go." When he said stop, I didn't like what he was saying. But when he said go, it was amazing. When I said yes, how my whole attitude changed. And I couldn't wait for the journey, wherever it would take me. Paul is telling the Ephesian leaders, just keep going. Sometimes it won't be easy. There's going to be savage wolves that may come your way. Some even from within the church. See, this is important for us to know too. In the world we live in today, you and I have to be in God's word. We need to be mature as Christians, because even within the church, so to speak, there are those who will try to destroy the church. Satan knows he can do greater work from the inside than he can from the outside. So folks, we need to be in his word. We need to understand his word. We need to be listening to what God calls us to do and to be. Because there are savage wolves out there, some of them who are in sheep's clothing, that are trying to mess with us. That's what he tells the Ephesian leaders. And he tells them, I gave you my all. Now I want you to give your all to the ministry of the word, to the ministry of Christ, to do what God's called you to do. So, I ask us in closing, what does it mean for you and me? What does this mean for you and me? This idea of stopping sometimes, God's called us to stop, and sometimes he's called us to go. What does it mean to give our all to him, to let him have it? Might it mean suffering and sacrifice? Maybe. I don't know. Might it mean doing something different? Maybe. Maybe not. Might it mean stopping or going, and if so, where? Ultimately, what it means is trust him, and he'll lead you where you need to be. He'll stop you when you need to stop. And he'll tell you to go when you need to go. But you got to trust him with it. Because if we're trying to do it ourselves, that's when we get off on those stupid paths. And it doesn't work. So I'd rather sometimes maybe the path be a little harder, knowing that I'm doing what God wants me to do, than a path that might seem much easier and I'm not doing what God wants me to do. You know where that path leads? To no satisfaction, no joy, no peace. The other path leads to joy and peace and satisfaction. I'm going to choose that path. I want you to choose that path too. Because it's best for us. God knows what's best for us. So trust him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God, we give you thanks and praise for examples in your word like Paul. He sacrificed a lot. Not as much as your son Jesus, our Lord and Savior, did, but he sacrificed a lot. You called him to some pretty difficult things, But he said, whether in plenty or in want, he is content. He said, to live is Christ and to die is gain, while in prison. Help us to speak like that from our hearts. Help us to know that from our hearts. That no matter where you lead me, if it's a difficult path or not, that we will trust you with all of it and be willing to be living sacrifices for you, as Romans tells us. For we give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.